Hello, and welcome to Degrassi and Chill, an episode-by-episode, spoiler-free review of Degrassi, The Next Generation. We're gonna bring the Degrassi this time around. If it's on your way and convenient, do you think you could bring the Chill?
Can you get extra? Last time there wasn't quite enough.
Yeah, we ran out,
so. We got a little too much energy in the room.
Mm-hmm. I'm Elle.
I'm Juno.
And today we're talking about Season 2, Episode 15, Hot for Teacher.
It's definitely episode 15. Yep. We double checked.
Triple checked, really. Yeah. Content warnings for this episode. Kind of implications of pedophilia.
Sort of. Like, at the very least, like, it's discussion and implication of unacceptable sexual relations.
Yeah. But alluded to.
Alluded to.
Yeah. That's a good It's not as spicy as it gets.
Yeah. So, as per usual, starting with that B plot, and hold on to your seats, it's a dumb one.
Shocking.
So, starts off in Mr. Armstrong's class as he's going through an assignment with Spinner and explaining some of the errors he made, and there's like a lingering shot on Spinner's armpit as he's like standing hunched over the desk, so like pit right at Armstrong's face level, and Armstrong's like, oh my god.
I should have said content warning, Spinner's armpit.
Yeah. So later on, Ellie tells him in the spirit of honesty that he stinks, and then Jimmy confirms this, that he smells really bad. Later on, Miss Kwan's class, Ash reads this like mega depressing poem, and as they were sharing their comments and critiques on her presentation, Jimmy says it sounded more like a suicide note. And Ash just, I wouldn't expect a conformist to understand. She's so edgy, you guys.
Oh my God. It was literally the best thing she's ever said.
But then she actually takes the advice and later on thanks him, says that she kind of reworked her entire thing to make everything flow and make sense. Apparently this was part of like a bigger piece, and like gives him a hug. And Spinner comments on how them getting back together is a bad, stupid idea. He is kind of taking the honesty thing that Jimmy has been trying out and trying it himself.
Yeah, they have like this pact that they've made now that they're always going to be honest with each other about everything. And I think Spinner takes this to mean like he has to say everything that he thinks at all times, which isn't necessarily the same thing.
No, but it is a very Spinner thought.
Yes.
So Jimmy then makes an honesty list about Spinner. All of the fantastic little petty things that irritate him about Spinner. And as he is sharing it with him, Spinner fairly rightfully gets upset. And then they just start like exchanging things that annoy them about each other. Like, Spinner is on the bus as it is pulling away, and Jimmy's like yelling after him, well, I'm always at your house because you pee on the seat and my mom doesn't want you over.
Top of his lungs. Like, everyone in the parking lot can hear this.
Yeah.
Imagine just being on that bus and having to be witness to this.
I would immediately combust. So they are in a rough spot as they show up the next day for Miss Kwan's class, not talking to each other very pointedly. But Miss Kwan has somehow ended up with pen ink all over her mouth. It's like smeared all over. It looks like she was like fiddling with a pen or like chewing on it maybe, and it exploded, and she has blue ink all over her mouth.
She looks like she ate out a Smurf. It's bad.
That's unacceptable. And they end up laughing about it together, and they're friends again now because they have a silly-looking Miss Kwan to bond over.
Miss Kwan's really out here fixing relationships and not even knowing it.
Right? What, she is the savior of this season. So now we are on to the A plot. A few episodes ago, we were introduced to science teacher extraordinaire, Ms. Hatzilakos.
My beloved. The ultimate MILF.
AKA Miss H. AKA Miss Hot Sauce at certain points in this episode.
Well deserved.
So she's explaining the lab experiment they're going to be doing, and JT is fucking around. He finds some like dinosaur models and is just like playing around with them, making jokes and disturbing absolutely everyone. And Miss H gives him 1 week guinea pig duty before and after school, which is basically taking care of the classroom guinea pigs. They have like three or four guinea pigs. Like, and so the next morning before school, she's walking him through the feeding procedures and how one of the guinea pigs kind of needs special treatment because she's gotten a little chubby. And JT is like heart eyes. He is totally fawning over these guinea pigs, and also over Miss Hatzilakos. So
yeah, he tries the classic like, "Oh, did you drop your pen?"
Yeah,
she does not fall for it.
Yeah,
not even for a second.
She just looks at it and is like, "No, that must be yours."
Absolute fucking legend.
Just
you know, this is not her first rodeo.
Just blocks him right at the pass. Later on, Sean and Toby ask him how it went, and JT tells this exaggerated story that it was hot and saucy, and is, like, acting like they're totally dating, totally, like, a relationship. And when, in passing, Emma and Manny hear them talking about JT's girlfriend, they think it's Liberty. They're like, "Oh my gosh, so you're finally going out with Liberty?" And he's like, "What? No. Ew. Why would I do that?"
Even they can see, like, the obvious crush she's been holding for forever.
It's, like, it's just, like, a little tiny thing, but it's very funny. Yeah. That they just assumed, fairly rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, they, back in guinea pig duty, Ms. H has discovered that the guinea pig that they thought was just getting a little chonky is pregnant. And JT is so excited. He immediately is like, "Okay, well, do we need to do anything different with her care? Does she need a special diet? Do we need to do anything, you know, to help her out with this? I'll look it up." And sure enough, is in the library researching guinea pigs and guinea pig pregnancies.
Yeah. During lunch, no less.
Yeah.
Like, boy is missing a meal for this. It's very unlike him.
Yeah, he's getting, like, really, really into it. And later in Mr. Armstrong's class, because he's just going through it today, No, it's not Mr. Armstrong's class. It's Ms. H's class. Mr. Armstrong just comes up to, like, call her out to the hall to talk about something.
Yeah.
We don't hear what their conversation is, but they are just teacher chatting in the hall. And Sean jokes to JT that, "Oh, it looks like your girlfriend has a boyfriend."
Because she, like, puts her arm on his shoulder or something.
Yeah.
Like, in a friendly gesture, but...
Yeah, like, as adults watching it, it's very clear that they are just buddies.
Yeah.
But JT, when Sean says this, like, whips around and gets super upset. It's like, she's not like that. That's not the case. Stop it. And they kind of keep pestering him about it, saying like, "Oh, sounds like you are you're one of her pets. Does she have a cage around here for you?" And JT, you can see him kind of like short circuit, and they are at this point doing a experiment with balloons. You know, your static electricity experiment with balloons. So he grabs a couple of balloons off of a nearby table, shoves them down his shirt, and starts like, "Ooh, look at me. Like, doing this very, like, exaggerated and rude imitation of Ms. H.
Yeah.
Which she sees. She walks in as he is, like, taking Toby's head and, like, putting them in the balloons, like...
He's getting motorboated.
Yeah. And she is very upset.
It's very uncomfortable.
He goes up, tries to apologize, and she just kind of, like, okay, and goes back to her lunch. And JT is like, why are you so upset? I apologized. What more do I need to do? I said sorry. Very kid thing.
Yeah.
You say I'm sorry and that fixes everything, right? And Ms. H says that what really upset her was that he is too smart to just keep being the class clown. You know, she is at this point seeing this whole other side of JT that, like, when something sparks in him, he can be really enthusiastic about research and working towards something that he cares about. And she's very upset to see him going back to just being goofy, fuck around class clown. And so JT just shrugs and says, all right, I won't keep wasting your time then. And says he's, like, gonna transfer out of her class, which I don't know if he can do that. It's
yeah. Do they even have another teacher? Because as far as we know, they do not.
Yeah, like, Degrassi seems to be pretty short on teachers. Like, unless they are having Mr. Armstrong teach another class.
Give that man a break.
Honestly.
He's probably working, like, quadruple overtime at this point. Does he ever go home?
I think he lives at the school.
He probably sleeps in the locker room.
So... as JT is kind of heading out for the day, he looks in the classroom he's intending to go in to, like, check on the guinea pigs. The door is locked, and he sees that the pregnant guinea pig is out of her cage. And he, like, rushes away, finds Miss H, who kind of doesn't want anything to do with him right now.
Yeah, but she's, like, on her way out the door, and he manages to catch her, but... Yeah. She's like, JT, I am leaving.
Yeah, but he tells her that the guinea pig has escaped and he can't get in, so she brushes off with him. They go in and start kind of trying to corner the guinea pig, try to get her back in her cage, and she runs under one of the cabinets, and they can't reach her, so they're just kind of like, well... I guess we just have to wait it out. And JT kind of starts spouting guinea pig facts. Like, yeah, she must have found somewhere, like, hidden and enclosed and cozy to have her babies. That's what they do, you know? And then mentions that he read a way to kind of lure guinea pigs out of hiding is to play soft music and turn down the lights, because that kind of creates a more calming atmosphere. They'll feel safe to start roaming around again. So they do. They just put on some, like, classical music or something. They turn the lights off in the room, and they're just kind of sitting there by the cabinet. And they start chatting. You see that softer, less jokey side of JT come back. And they're just vibing.
Yeah. Like, she's even taking her heels off. Like, oh, yeah. She's in it for the long haul.
And after what probably wasn't that long, the guinea pig comes out, and they get her back safe and sound. Next day, Sean and Toby somehow knew that they had stayed late that day and ask how that went. And JT starts into another grand tale. It's like, oh yeah, the lights were down and the music was just right. And the guinea pig had their babies. JT and Toby and Sean just kind of roll their eyes. They're like, seriously, man? What? That's not a cool story. He's like, listen, guinea pig birth is a beautiful thing.
He seems really into it.
He seems so into it.
Good for him.
Ms. H even, like, throughout the episodes mentions, like, oh, you ever thought about, like, being a veterinarian? You seem really into this. And he kind of, like, oh, I don't know. Kind of brushes it off. He clearly doesn't do much of the future thinking. So that's where we leave our boy, guinea pig fan extraordinaire.
He has successfully delivered infants. Yeah. Which, they show the guinea pig babies at the end of the episode, and they're, of course, like, fully covered in hair already, like, up and running around, which is not how rodent babies are, but it's fine. They probably thought that the naked ugly ones wouldn't be that nice on film.
They don't just look like bright pink detached thumbs.
Also, they have the babies in the cage with the mom, which is a bad idea because she will eat them, but I digress. Anyway, so this episode's called Hot for Teacher, which is, of course, titled after the song Hot for Teacher by Van Halen, which is not lyrically complex by any means. It's literally just about a guy who wants to fuck his teacher. That's literally it. So, not a whole lot to analyze here. JT wants to fuck his teacher. They titled it Hot for Teacher. I don't know what else I have to explain to you.
You know what? Sometimes a direct analogy is the best analogy.
Exactly. It ain't broke, don't fix it. It definitely got the message across.
Yeah.
And you know who else is hot for teacher? Me. I am. I love Miss H. I would walk off the edge of the earth for her.
Yeah, Elle was very, very happy that I was on plot for this episode because, and I quote, then they can just sit back and appreciate the MILF.
It's what she deserves. I think she deserves to be appreciated by someone with taste.
So, who is that?
You want to say that to my girlfriend's face?
Sure. What, are you going to pack me in a bag with you?
Bet.
Okay.
So, about this episode, as far as analysis goes, I have basically nothing to say about the B-plot.
Yeah, other than the fact that don't bully teenagers for smelling bad. Like, a few times they mentioned, like, you know, you should really shower every day, Spinner. And he has ADHD. Care tasks can be difficult when you have ADHD. And also, teenagers sometimes smell bad no matter what you do.
Yeah. That said, if you are currently a teenager in puberty, which I don't think we have many of you listening, but if you are, deodorant is your friend.
Deodorant is your friend, but don't feel bad if it's if there's still some odor, because your your hormones are making decisions for you right now.
It'd be like that. Mildly scented perfume or cologne can be your friend as well. You have to experiment a lot to figure out what's going to work for you, and Spinner's very clearly not gotten to that experimenting stage quite yet.
Yeah. I imagine it's hard for guys.
Yeah.
Because, you know, any sort of care task beyond pooping is for women.
Yep. Like, if they see you, like, brush your teeth, they'll be like, oh, that's gay. What the fuck?
What the fuck do you need those teeth for? To eat ass? Hmm?
Please don't use your teeth to eat ass.
Do not.
This has been a PSA. Do not use your teeth to eat ass. Anyway, I guess we did have things to say about the B-plot after all.
They're not things I anticipated saying about the B-plot.
Okay, now we're done with the B-plot. I'm not touching it anymore. I love seeing this side of JT. We saw it a little bit, too, in the episode where he was, like, a master seamstress.
Yeah.
Seamster? Is there even a male term?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there is. That's fucked up. Anyway, we saw him, like, get really into the sewing stuff, but again, have to, like, hide that because he's so concerned with, like, what people think of him. And his reputation as being just the funny guy. So it's really cool to see him kind of leaning more into the serious side of himself and, like, pursuing what he actually enjoys. And learning to get less hung up on his reputation.
The male version is seamster.
I hate that.
I hate it so much. It sounds too much like seamster. Yeah, it's really cool because, you know, we're getting to see that he really is multifaceted, and that's the thing that I love about this show, is everyone feels like such a real person, except for Ash, because they have so many different sides to them, and in a, like, it's a realistic combination of things. You know, he's very... He has a shtick that he is clinging to.
Yeah, he's, like, putting himself in the funny guy box.
Yeah.
Like, it's not the writers just giving him one trait and making him stick to it. Like, he, as a character, is forcing himself to stick to his shtick.
Yeah.
Stick to his shtick. That's hard.
You did it, though, and I'm proud of you.
I made it. I still can't say statistics.
You did it.
Kind of.
Kind of. Mostly. Yeah, it's very nice to see not only this other side of him, but to see the moments where he had that decision to make of, like, who is he going to be in this interaction? Mm-hmm. And we see two very big ones in this episode. One where they are kind of saying that he's one of Miss H's pets, and the other at the end where they're saying that the lame date, quote unquote, of guinea pig birthing isn't a good story. And he just kind of makes the opposite decision in both. He sticks mm-hmm. to his funny guy routine, and he sticks to this guinea pig love inside of himself, this yeah. just softer.
And what I like is he was still kind of being funny as he was talking about it. Like, he was like, hey guys, guinea pig birth is really fascinating, but clearly still in like a jokey, fun loving kind of a way. Yeah. But in a way that felt more authentic to him. Like, even when he's seriously passionate about something, he's still a funny guy.
He's clearly someone who just likes making people laugh.
Mm-hmm.
He likes it to the point where he's willing to kind of sacrifice himself yeah. and his own dignity for the sake of a joke.
Right.
And
I think now he's learning he doesn't always have to do that.
Yes. I think it's really common for, you know, boys, especially his age, because yep. so much of the kind of comedic content that is geared towards people that age is the very, like, someone specific is the butt of the joke.
Correct.
Always. Someone is the one who is shit on for other people to laugh.
Yeah. You have to be making fun of someone or something, or putting someone or something down in order to be funny.
Yeah.
And that's not always the case, it turns out.
Right. And he's chosen to be the thing that is being put down, the thing that yeah. is being made fun of. And it's clearly coming from, like, a wholesome place.
Yeah. He's learning how to laugh at himself in a way that isn't, like, putting himself down.
Yeah.
So, I'm really proud of him for that. And I like that as we're learning new things about the characters, it's also as they're learning it about themselves.
Like, we're going along with them.
Yeah, I don't think JT knew that he was really into animals like this until he was assigned guinea pig duty and discovered that.
Yeah, he kind of, you can see in his face when Miss H first suggests, like, being a veterinarian, he kind of cocks his head. He's like, huh, hadn't thought about it.
Yeah, could be an idea.
Yeah, so
filing that away.
You know, it's one of those things, like, he's probably played into the role so much that he never really thought about anything
mm-hmm.
else, you know, neglecting that other side of him, and suddenly having someone foster this other facet of his personality, he's like, oh, that's there. I can do things with this. That's interesting.
Right. I honestly don't think he's even thought past school at all. He's just thinking about how to be the popular fun guy while he's in school right now.
I mean, he is also 12.
Exactly.
So
I think 12-year-olds don't really need to be thinking beyond school.
No.
But, yeah. It's a fun episode. Its initial premise feels kind of weird, but it ends up being a really wholesome one, unexpectedly, which is nice.
Yeah, it's dealt with very realistically because, you know, early pubescent kids are going to have crushes on their teachers. It's going to happen.
Who has not had a crush on a teacher at some point? Raise your hands.
Literally, like, they are older, they are smart, like, you probably have one really hot teacher at some mm-hmm. point.
And
like,
you're spending all your time with them.
Right.
I mean, you love the one you're with, you know?
Yeah. So, I like that Degrassi continues to do those things where, obviously, a teacher-student relationship, not okay, but a student having a crush on their teacher is not inherently a bad thing. It just, it happens.
Right. I thought it was interesting when JT and Miss H were just hanging out waiting for the guinea pig to come out. They were just talking, and he had asked, like, oh, have you always wanted to be a teacher? Not, like, a model? Clearly, like, trying it. And she just, like, kind of narrows her eyes a little bit and is like, no. And it kind of gave the vibe of, like, this is not the first time she's had a student hit on her. And she's probably really frustrated with it. And I would bet money that she has been either sexually harassed or just pestered by her students in the past.
Oh, yeah. I am, like, sure. Because she is very, very conventionally attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And she very much has one of those figures that I feel like no matter what she wears, like, she's always going to have cleavage.
Yep.
Like, it's
she
just
fills it out. Yeah. She fills out her clothes very well.
Like, it's very clear from just her body type that they're, that short of wearing a burlap sack, there's nothing she can do to hide her figure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she has probably gotten so much shit.
Yes. I imagine she is just exhausted of not being taken seriously because she's an attractive woman.
Especially a woman science teacher.
Yep. In STEM. Yeah. In an academic field. And obviously, as a middle school, high school teacher, she is dealing with boys in puberty who think they can just do whatever they want. And who, honestly, like, students do not view their teachers as human. And this is a common thing. Like, yeah, they view them as teachers, not people. Right.
Like, so, robots that the second you leave school, they just enter stasis mode.
Right. And it's like, I feel like there's a lot of room there for people to be creepy with her. And she's probably dealt with it a lot. And even just in, like, this one little interaction, you can just see, like, she's tired of it. She's dealt with it. And that's probably why she didn't react to JT's attempt with the pen thing. Because I'm sure she's had that happen to her a dozen times.
Yeah, she has very good reactions to it. Like, and by that I mean she has no she gives it no reaction. She just stone face. No.
Yep. She just shuts that shit down. Which is unfortunate that she's had to get to that point. But I think she deals with it as effectively as one can.
Yeah. She seems like a good teacher.
Yeah. I would kill to have had her as a teacher. Not just because she's hot, but she is hot. But you know what I wouldn't do? Harass her about it.
What a concept.
I would just think about it privately. A lot.
Fill up some journals about it.
Like I said, raise your hand if you've never had a crush on a teacher.
My mom and I had a crush on the same one of my teachers.
Was this the one that she was dating? Or didn't you say your mom, like, went out with the teacher once?
No.
No, what were you talking about? Or, like, she wanted to or something?
Yeah, my mom and I both had a crush on my ninth grade English teacher. He was in a band.
Yeah,
he
that's was a, the one you're
he was, before
about.
Becoming an English teacher, he was a chef. Oh my God. And then he became an English teacher because I guess that made more money.
That's fucking depressing.
And he was in a band.
I might have a crush on your English teacher. It's fine.
He's very dreamy.
You want to hear something ironic?
What?
I had a crush on my math teacher.
Oh my gosh.
I had like a 30% in her class as my final grade. And I was like, this is me trying really hard to impress her. It was really tragic.
Well, share your hot for teacher moments in the comments. And
yeah, please tell us about your hot teacher that you fantasized about.
Yeah.
I want to hear the stories.
We are building the ultimate teacher, sort of how to build a better boy style, making the optimal teacher, academics, grading style, ours, yeah, fine. We're mainly trying to make someone who's like real hot.
That's really the end goal here.
Yeah.
We might read them out loud in a podcast episode if you write us a good story. But we are recording these, like, ridiculously ahead of time, so it probably won't be for a while.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Well, eventually, you will be hearing this. And when you do, put that story in the comments.
Well, shall we wrap up with our quote, significant moment, etc.?
I think we shall. I think we shall. Why don't you go first?
Okay. Well, let's see. I wrote down a couple, but I think the one I'm going to go with is in the very, very beginning of the B-plot when we have Spinner leaning over Mr. Armstrong. He's, like, trying to explain this problem to Spinner and then gets a whiff, like, crinkles his whole face up like he's just bit into a lemon like an apple. And he just says, it's a simple bath. I mean, math. It's such a good Freudian slip.
Love those.
I adore that man. I really hope he's being paid so much overtime.
I adore scripted Freudian slips. They're so funny. Honestly, my big thing for this episode, I already mentioned, is Ash's fucking poem. I do not have it in front of me, but literally it's all like, the world is black, like my soul. It's so dark and edgy, and it unfortunately very much reminds me of something that, like, I would have read in, like, eighth grade, and be like, oh my gosh, you're so right. Like, I absolutely went for that. So dark and edgy, everything's so sad and depressing. And I would have heard her say, I wouldn't expect a conformist to understand with her fucking Karen haircut.
It literally does look like a Karen haircut, but, like, with blue streaks. Yeah, like, that's what you need to be picturing right now.
It's so bad.
And she changes her haircut, like, every episode now. Very confusing. Yeah. Like, it's always different. I don't get it.
And
I don't
it's different in a way that is, like, impossible. Because, like, sometimes it'll just randomly be a little longer. Like, you can't cut your hair longer.
You can if you're in The Sims.
You can. Is she a Sim?
That would explain so much.
That would. Well, that's a wrap on Hot for Teacher. We will see you all for our next episode.
Season 2, Episode 16, Message in a Bottle.
In a bottle?
In it. Inside of it.
Don't use your teeth for anal, kids.